Today we walk with Jesus to the cross. Since the beginning of the year, we have journeyed with Jesus as he began his public ministry, getting baptized first by his cousin John and announcing to all, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." We have walked with him as he healed a man of paralysis, rid women and men of impure spirits that haunted them, as he healed a chronically bleeding woman and raised a little girl from death. We have walked with him as he called out the religious leaders for their hypocrisy and their role in the oppression of others, as he taught that the greatest things we could possibly do is to love God and love people. And as he spoke words of encouragement, calm, and assurance. As we walked with Jesus, we have grown in our understanding of who he is, the many titles and ideas that come together to articulate a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. And as we walk to the cross and to Christ's death, we are going to be confronted by who he is yet again. First, as king. We're going to hear the mocking cries of the soldiers who lead Jesus away to be crucified as an entire crowd of them mockingly call out, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then once crucified, they'll put a note over his head on that cross that will read, "The King of the Jews." And yet they will be speaking truth. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the one from the line of David who reigns not only over the Hebrews, but over all the earth. He is the one that Isaiah spoke of, the son who was given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And yet, he is a different kind of king than the earthly kings. Where earthly kings are concerned with power over another, King Jesus empowers. Where earthly kings accrue wealth and security and power, King Jesus lays down his life for all. And throughout the Old Testament, especially in those books of Kings and Chronicles, we read the stories of those kings who did not rule with justice, who did not shepherd their people well like God called them to do. These kings were to care for the people and to work for their best interest, to protect them from oppressive forces and to restore them to wholeness. Yet time and time again, they failed to do so. Where the earthly kings fail, King Jesus will never fail. The crowds may mock him, they may assume that he is obviously unlike any other king and is clearly not the ruler, and yet, in their jeers, in their insults, they have stumbled upon the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus is the King. As we walk with Jesus to his death this morning, we're going to hear another identity that is thrown out, Messiah. Once Jesus is crucified, the chief priests and the teachers of the law will take up the mocking cries. This time they're going to say, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Messiah, anointed one, the one who will save God's people from bondage and oppression. Similar title to king in many ways, yet Messiah holds this fuller theological idea. And the people have been waiting for generations for the Messiah to come. They will mock Jesus in declaring that he is the Messiah. And yet, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus not only fulfills many passages in scriptures in the Old Testament that speak of who the Messiah would be, such as a Hebrew man born in Bethlehem and many other lines, Jesus also saves people throughout his entire ministry, saves people from their illness, from oppressive evil, saves people from loneliness, from being marginalized, and then through his death, Jesus does indeed save us all. Save us from death's end, as evil will exhaust all resources on Jesus, and Jesus will take the sin of all the world, all of our sin and selfishness, onto himself, putting an end to evil's plan and saving all of us to life. as we walk with Jesus to the cross, Jesus the King, Jesus the Messiah, we will also hear another identity, how Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. After Jesus dies on the cross, the curtain is torn in two, and a Roman centurion who is standing guard right beside Jesus will say, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Two other times in Mark's gospel, Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. The first is by God the Father at Jesus' baptism, as God's voice declares to Jesus, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." We're going to hear similar things in chapter 9, as God says to all those who are gathered at the Transfiguration, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." But at the cross, as Jesus dies, it is not God who declares that Jesus is God's Son. It's a different person who says such things. A Roman soldier, someone who witnessed firsthand the crucifixion and all the events leading up to it, and yet someone who goes against the tone of the crowd, goes against the jeers of his own fellow soldiers by declaring out loud that Jesus must be the Son of God. For a Roman to make such claims, this was positively treasonous. The only one referred to as such is the Roman emperor. It was a downright dangerous claim to call Jesus the Son of God. And yet, Jesus is God's Son, and Jesus is God. Jesus is God who, as it says in Philippians, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, as God, did not remain far away, but he chose to live among us, to walk with us through all the challenges that life brings, to model for us a way of love, sacrifice, and humility. He didn't use his identity as God to his advantage, but chose to serve instead. And in so doing, shows us the very heart of God, which is one of service and love. Today we are walking to the cross with Jesus the King, the one true King who rules and shepherds all people with equity and justice, goodness and love. Today we are walking to the cross with Jesus the Messiah, the one who saved and continues to save. Save us from oppression, save us from evil, save us from ourselves. And today we are walking to the cross with Jesus, the Son of God, the one who shows us the loving heart of God and chose to be with us. Throughout his ministry and throughout our lives, Jesus walks with us. Walks with us through life's ups and downs. Walks with us as we are navigating how to live, how to follow Christ. Walks with us as we seek God. And today, we walk with Jesus. This service of Tenebrae is an ancient one of shadows, as we go from light into darkness. Traditionally, it would be in the evening, but I'm so glad we're doing it in the morning so more of you could come and gather with us. Each candle that is extinguished this morning represents a significant moment in that journey to the cross, as we contemplate the importance of Christ's death. After each candle is extinguished, there will be a moment of silence, which is always a little bit uncomfortable, but I invite you to settle into it. No one's forgetting what's happening next. We have it under control. Just rest and trust and contemplate. Then there will be some kind of response. It could be a song, a prayer of confession, part of communion. Let us journey with Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we ponder his great sacrifice. Will you pray with me? Most gracious God, look with mercy upon your children gathered here, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, given into sinful hands, and suffered death upon the cross. Strengthen our faith and forgive our betrayals as we enter the way of his passion. Through him who lives and reigns, with you and the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.